I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I am concerned. I'm very concerned. Listen, here's my takeaway. January 20th can't get here fast enough. I mean, what Biden is doing is totally reckless, Laura. It is absolutely reckless. And let's not forget, this is a guy who the Democrats decided couldn't be trusted, didn't have the capability to run a presidential campaign. And now here he is, potentially leading us down the path to World War III with just weeks to go in his presidency. It is unbelievably reckless and irresponsible. And I just can't wait until Trump gets back into office. We've got to make it from now to then. And this policy is a disaster.
Well, that's Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, and kind of setting a frightful tone there. And I'm curious if it is as dire as the senator there explains. It is 1,000 days into this war, the Russia-Ukraine war. Ukraine fires its first barrage of U.S.-made long-range missiles into Russia. And my understanding is Joe Biden gave them permission to do that, or however that works. What is the status of this conflict right now, and what does it mean for the United States as we are in a transition of administrations? Well, let's ask the expert at that. Jim Carafano with us, a senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation. Jim, it's great to have you on today. Tell us about this moment in time and, you know, to the senator's words there. How scary is this moment for you?
Not really. I'm in Moldova, which is I'm about as close as you can get to the war in Ukraine without being in Ukraine. Look, I think the reality is both Putin and Zelensky expect Trump to come to office and say playtime is over, this needs to stop now. And I think what they're both trying to do is be in as strong a position as possible for that moment. That's why the Russians have stepped up their attacks. It's why the Ukrainians wanted attacks to push back on Russians. I think, and Donald Trump wants Ukraine to
I'm going to put Jim here on hold here real quick. Drew, maybe you can check with him and check his connection. Let us know when it's better. I can read to you from the Fox News report on these missiles that were fired. And Brad, will you let me know when we've got it reconnected? Fox News says Moscow says Ukrainian forces have taken advantage of President Biden's green light and launched six U.S.-made ATA CMS, Army Tactical Missile Systems, into Russian territory Tuesday. Russia says it shot down five of the missiles and damaged the sixth that added the debris landed in the area of a Russian military facility, but that no casualties or damage beyond a small fire. A U.S. official confirmed the overnight strike to Fox News. The attack came just 2 days after President Biden approved Ukraine to use American long-range missiles on Russian soil, an escalation that Russian President Putin previously indicated would be an act of war. So this is the news that came out. And, you know, when you look at, I think it was Jesse Kelly, I'm going to read this tweet as we were working to reconnect here with Jim Carafano. Jesse Kelly tweeted out, "For all the politicians trying to start World War III, my sons will not go fight in this war. And if you draft them and something happens to them, something will happen to you. Trust me on that." When I listen to these different types of reactions to what's going on, and as a novice, I'm not in a position to understand the details, it feels to me like a lot of posturing by Zelensky, by Putin, when we hear the results of Vladimir Putin saying that they're going to, rework the nuclear agreement, that they're going to change how they look at these different particular situations. It's nerve-wracking to see how this materializes, especially in this time of conflict. And we definitely want to make sure that we understand exactly what we're doing in a moment where it seems like you make a wrong turn and then everything proverbially blows up. Let's see if we got Jim back here. Jim, I'm sorry about that. Are you there? Can you hear us okay?
I
Still in Moldova.
Yeah.
Still here.
Still in Moldova. Well, that's good to hear. You can pick up where you left off. I was just kind of wondering about the tenor of this situation right now and in the moment in the transition between a Biden administration and then in January a Trump administration. People are throwing the World War III word around, and for us it's like we don't know what's really going on here.
No, I think both Putin and Zelensky expect Trump to come into office and put his foot down and say this has to end. And that if it doesn't end, the United States is going to throw its weight behind this. And I think what Putin and Zelensky are both doing are trying to be in the strongest position as possible for when Trump comes in. So I don't think we're leading into World War III, quite honestly.
Well, that's very refreshing to hear. It's good to know that that's your take on it. Donald Trump has said that he would have a conversation with Putin and he would work to end this conflict or war as quickly as he possibly can. What kind of leverage does Donald Trump have coming into this conflict? The new guy, but also the old guy back in town. How does he pull something like that off?
He killed Soleimani when the world said, you can't do this. He ordered the carpet bombing of hundreds of Russian mercenaries in Syria when the world said, oh, my God, you can't do that. It'll spark World War III. He launched cruise missiles in Syria against Assad in front of the Chinese prime minister. When you say peace through strength, it means peace through strength, that if you want to mess with me, that you're going to have to live with the consequences of that. So unlike Joe Biden, who has been completely risk averse this entire thing and essentially was allowing Ukraine to die by slow death, Trump's going to come in and say the fighting has to stop. And you cannot do a deal with Putin unless there are... He won't do a deal. So my expectation is Trump will come in. He'll put a deal on the table, and he'll tell Putin, if you don't do this, there are consequences. And Putin may or not do a deal. But the reality is he will have to live with the consequences that Donald Trump puts out there. So I actually believe that both Russia and Ukraine expect the fighting to stop in 2025. Now, they might want to attack each other down the range or something else. But they think Trump's going to come in and demand a halt to this. And only Vladimir Putin can end this war, but I think he'll have to weigh the risk really heavily. And I think what we're seeing now, the Russians threatening a nuclear war, escalation, all this other stuff, is literally Putin posturing to try to be in a strong position as possible for the negotiation that he knows is coming and he knows is going to be difficult with Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump is a lot of things, but he is not stupid. people say Trump likes to do deals, and he does. Trump does not like to do bad deals.
Yeah. I wanted to get your reaction to the juxtaposition of Donald Trump coming in and you're talking about his prior methodology and what would be coming back in when he takes the oath of office in January, his peace through strength mentality. There's a lot of fodder here stateside being made over President Biden's foreign trip right now and what it means. I don't know how much it means on his way out. A lot of talk about his awkward photo positioning in the back corner with President Xi standing in the front middle for this photo op. Does that mean it? Do those things mean anything to you, Jim Carafano?
Nobody takes Joe Biden seriously or thinks he's relevant in any way or whatsoever. Whatever goes going on now in the international scene is people posturing on how they're going to deal with Donald Trump. And I got to say, it sounds like I disagree with Josh Hawley, and maybe we do on some, but not in the end. And I think all American conservatives are in the same place on this. We want this war to end. We want Ukrainians to stop dying, and we want the United States to stop spending billions of dollars without a plan that delivers, a clear outcome for the United States that's in our benefit. And I think the reason why we might disagree on some things on this, but we all voted for Donald Trump, not that I'm telling you who I voted for, was because in the end, we think this guy is going to deliver for all of us.
Yeah. I want to shift gears before we got just a few minutes left with you, but the immigration situation and the appointment of Homan to be the border czar. I want to play this clip for you and get your reaction to Donald Trump's pick with Tom Homan here. Listen to
this. We got three rails of business, Lawrence. First of all, we got to secure the border. We know how to do that. We've done it before. Second of all, we need to run this deportation operations. The president's been clear. We're going to, out of the gate, we're going to focus on public safety threats and national security threats first. And fugitives, those who crossed the border legally, had great due process, at great taxpayer expense, were ordered removed by an immigration judge and didn't leave. They're also a priority. And third rail, we got to find over 300,000 children that were released into this country to so-called sponsors that the government can't find. We also got to find them children and try to save them.
Jim Carafano, is Tom Homan the right man for this job?
You know, I've known Tom Homan, it feels like forever. I love that man like my own father. I mean, he reminds me of my dad. My dad was a cop. Tom's got bleeds blue. He tells a story about the formative moment in his life, which is discovering a truck that was used for human smuggling. And they packed the people in the back, and they all died. And he had to open that truck and drag the bodies out. He said that was the moment in his life when he recognized that illegal migration is the greatest sin on the planet Earth, and he committed his life to stopping that. Tom's going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. All those things he said, Tom Homan will do them. He will do them as to 24 hours a day. So anybody who thinks that this is politics or something else, they don't know this guy. This is like when George Marshall says we're going to fight and win World War II? Tom Homan is the George Marshall of border security. He will deliver on this relentlessly.
Is he going to have the authority and everything that he needs on day one of this administration to get the job done?
Yes.
Good. He is
in Trump's brain on this issue.
That's wonderful to hear. Jim, we're going to let you go. Thank you for visiting us from Moldova. You are a world traveler, and we always thank you for stopping in St. Louis, Missouri on Tuesdays. We always appreciate your voice.
See you, my friend.
Take care. Bye-bye. It is great to talk to Jim Carafano about that. Tom Homan been on the Annie Fry Show many times. He used to come on the show a lot in the previous administration. What was he, acting Homeland Security Secretary or something like that? Oh, we had such a great relationship with the first Trump administration. Biden wins and that door slams shut so fast. It's like, don't even try. So hopefully we'll be able to get some access to some high level people in the Trump administration. Once again, they're pretty tight lipped right now. And I don't blame them for that, though. Like when we're asking for people to come on, sometimes people come on and I'm like, oh, I don't think you should be doing that. But we'd love to have you.
Well, the beautiful thing about the people he's picking now, not all of them, but let's just say 75% of the names that we've heard that will be in charge of this agency or that agency are people who are good with the media. So I'm sure part of saying, hey, everybody, lock down for a little bit, is the fact that all these people actually could be doing that and will do that once the administration starts to roll.
You know, the Matt Gaetz question is the big question mark in all of these appointments. And I've heard so many different philosophies on this. I've heard people tell me things like, you got to throw some crazy ones in there because it makes the ones that, you know, it's always a spectrum. You take the entire lot of people that have been appointed and you determine what is the most crazy one there. And then that person doesn't get confirmed. And wherever the crazy mark is on that spectrum, you get the people that are on the not. But it's subjective.
It's a negotiation tactic.
That's a suggestion that has been made. I don't believe that it's not possible that Matt Gaetz becomes the attorney general. And if Matt Gaetz becomes the attorney general, this is going to be a wild, wild ride.
Oh, my gosh. The nice thing about this, you have 53 Republican senators. You're going to have 47 no votes across the board. So who cares?
But I don't know.
On all of them?
Have you seen all the on all of them? I don't think that you're going to. I don't think that there are. I think Fetterman's going to vote for some of these people.
Yeah, I could see.
I think you're going to get Democrats.
I could see Rubio getting some. Because he knows them.
Yes.
You know?
But I feel like if you look at the list of people who voted on the Republican side to approve Merrick Garland, that's the big question that is out there right now circling X about who's going to vote against Matt Gaetz but voted for Merrick Garland.
Ooh,
for AG. Because if you don't want that on your record.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If Gates gets to the confirmation hearing process, he, in my opinion, is much more likely to get it confirmed. I think if the people who don't want him in there, they will either succeed and keep him from getting the confirmation hearings. Those confirmation hearings are going to be entertaining to watch.
I joined this station right in the middle of the Brett Kavanaugh hearings.
Oh, man, we were wall to wall, too.
Oh, my gosh. That was like, I can't believe, that was political nerd 101, like, this is the best.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's stupid. You're watching people make complete you-know-what to themselves, and it's like
doofuses.
All live doofuses.
Doofuses.
Yeah, just like you say sugar. No sugar, Sherlock.
Yeah.
just
like
that.
You just got to make sure you say it like that. I got euphemisms for everything.
Right.
Bologna sausage. Congressman Boss is going to be with us when we come back. I'm looking forward to having a conversation with him about, does the House feel like they have a mandate? It's a very small majority, but a majority nonetheless, and the House is compromised in a way that you just need one more vote than the other guys. That's the benefit of what is actual democracy in the House. And then, of course, the Senate comes in and reminds you why we are a republic. So what does Congressman Boss think about the direction of the next iteration of Congress when they've got a Senate that they can send bills to that will actually get passed in the Senate and then go to the president's desk and be signed? Guys, it's an amazing thing. And we're about to be able to see exactly how much work the Republicans can get done from the jump. Mike Bost will tell us about that when we come back. When I collect, that's what I said now. Princess, princess, who adore you. Just go ahead now. But they could save tens or even hundreds of billions of dollars. Depending on how it's structured and what they do, this could be a constructive undertaking that ought to be embraced. Senator Chris Coons talking there about what Republicans, Donald Trump specifically, have pledged to do with Elon Musk, with Vivek Ramaswamy, in cutting spending. Boy, I didn't really think about this entire time we've been waiting for Donald Trump to hopefully be elected. It was kind of towards the end where it was like, oh, and we should cut spending. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, yes. And so is Chris Coons.
These are like dreams deferred.
Yeah. They felt so bold as to say, like, maybe the deficit is a problem. Maybe it's a national security risk. Well, that's Senator Chris Coons saying that. The budget starts in the House. And I'm curious what kind of resolve that these Republicans going into the next Congress have when it comes to cutting spending and any other plans that they have all lined up to go on day one. That's why we bring our friend Congressman Mike Bost back onto the show. Illinois' 12th District Representative. He's also the chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, and we love having him on the show. Congressman, thank you for being with us today. It's good to have you back.
Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Senator Chris Coons is like, yeah, we could cut some spending. That's kind of nice to hear.
Well, putting this group together, first off, make sure that the people have the will that are here voting. I don't think it's a good idea let me clarify that, because that's how things can be taken out of context. I believe it's a lot of cuts can be done, and we're going to put our nose to the grindstone and we're going to get it done. The problem is we still have a budget that we need to get done this session. Hmm. And there's many of us believe we need to sit down and get that done first so that the table is cleared for the president to come in and do what he needs to do. But now we're hearing rumors that there's people not wanting to get that done, and that there's talk of doing another short-term CR, which I don't think that's a good idea. Like I said, I think we should clear the table so that they can come in and start getting things done. But anyway, we'll see how that plays out.
Well, Congressman, let me ask you kind of just in an elementary way. As I mentioned at the beginning of this, the senator was talking about being interested in cutting spending, but that budgeting process, the power of the purse, belongs with the House of Representatives. Can you explain just very simply how, when you're talking about getting a budget done, when you're talking about a CR or a continuing resolution, how does all of that operate? What does that mean?
Okay, so the budget is passed, and it's passed in 12 different budgets, okay? We have passed a majority of the budget this last year, but there's about five of those 12 bills that have not been passed, but still 80% of the budget has been passed because they're not evenly divided bills. And so we were able to get those things over to the Senate but then they have to take them up. So it's a process. Now, what that was, that was all done to do the budget this way, and it was designed in 1972. And since 1972, I think there's only been three budget years that they've actually passed all 12 bills.
Oh, wow.
So it we need to revamp how it's done, because it's not successful, to tell you the truth. And then a CR usually only affects those areas that weren't passed. So one year you might pass the, we always manage to pass the budget on for the military. We pass that and the VA, because it's one that, at least most times, it gets passed. But then on the other ones, the problem with the CR is you're not raising or lowering anything from the year before. You're just continuing to go with the budget that you have. So the problem with this CR is that we passed this CR on down, where we said we're just going and moving forward and keeping the expensive budget of COVID that was put past during Nancy Pelosi's time. That's the problem. Because then when you try to make cuts, you can't get them, because if you don't pass it, you don't pass it. So, but my hope is, with United Government, we're going to get together quickly. Let me tell you what we learned from 2017. A couple things. One, we need to set things in place beforehand and understand that the House has been working towards what's known as reconciliation, which allows us to move certain things in the budget that wouldn't normally be able to be moved, but you only get one bite at the apple per year, okay? And we were each assigned with our committees to find those places that, and it has to be budget related, and that we can then send over to the Senate for reconciliation, and there's like a lot of things can get done that don't normally get done if you use that. That tool was very misunderstood in 2017, because we hadn't had a united form of government in many, many years. And then when we got it, unfortunately, it took 3 months for us to move the first one, because we were all, well, the leadership at that time did not think that Trump was going to win. And so all of a sudden, he did win, and we were kind of back on our heels. This time, we started planning under the leadership of Mike Johnson 6 months ago.
That's
so we're
great.
Ready for him. And he, you know, he's gearing up. He's doing some. He is putting his cabinet together very quickly. He got a clear mandate. We know that, you know, this is huge, and that we've got to get things done. And you know, so we have a list of those things. We've already got the agenda that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Speaker Johnson and he want to be going on day one. They want to get the immigration thing. Border taken care of, the immigration, and all of a sudden trying to get the illegals out and caught and go back to a controlled border, trying to get those chemicals or those criminals off the street and back into their own country.
And the chemicals.
And chemicals. Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Yeah. And you know, we're going to do the job growth stuff, and including get our fuel prices back down. Start selling our fuel like we were to Europe and become energy independent. We got to pass the tax cuts to keep those tax cuts going that were passed in 2017. And we got to get it done by the end of this next year. So that's things. And then not counting the fact about it, what all those agendas that I have with the VA, but at least his pick for the VA, let me tell you, he's a very good friend, and I think he'll do a great job. He and I are already talking, and that's Doug Collins, former member here in the House. Mm-hmm. So we're doing a lot of things.
Congressman Boss, this is Ryan Wiggins. I'm going to ask you kind of a barstool question that friends of mine have been discussing over text. We hear that Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk are going to head up the Department of Governmental Efficiency, I think is what it is, DOGE.
Yeah.
And that is intended to cut spending and wasteful things across government. Mm-hmm. What
right.
can they do, though, without Congress? Or is that something they're going to be working with you on?
They can't. They can't. But that what it does is they will be an advisory group that will go in line item by line item by line item in each one of the budgets and show where we can make certain really strong changes and reduce the spending. And I believe that we will have the will to do that, because when you tell an agency to find where they, it's not a net, no, it is never going to be the reaction of an agency to reduce their spending. Because the main goal of bureaucracy is to create more bureaucracy. And remember, Ronald Reagan said the closest thing to eternal life is a new government program. And what we have to do is stop those eternal lives that are out there that don't do anything, that we just continue to spend money on. Good heavens, we're still spending money on the COVID stuff, and it's over.
Yeah.
So each of us, look, I tell you that we will find waste in the VA, and I tell you that we can do it without reducing any of the benefits for our veterans and any services that they receive. And we're willing to go after it.
We're speaking with Congressman Mike Bost. He's Illinois' 12th District Representative, Chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. You've been in Congress now for 10 years. So that's quite an interesting coming in 2015 at the tail end of Barack Obama's presidency.
Right.
You've been here through the ups and the downs of the Donald Trump presidency. Can you assess the state of the Republican Party going into this January 2025 compared to the prior years that you've been in office?
Yeah, I can. And here's one. First off, when 2017 was the one year that 2017 in 2018 were the united years that we had united form of government. We learned from those mistakes. The sad thing is that, I want to think about this, especially all those that people say they want term limits. Understand 60% of the Congress has never worked under a united government.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how quick the turnover is here. And so now we've got to teach people who've never been in through this before, okay, here's what you're going to expect, and here's why, here's how we got to move forward. But let me tell you that though we even had our arguments last week while farming up our committee, well, we got to farm up our committees later, but passing the rules, we had conversations about this rule, that rule, but by the time it was all said and done, we were united. You know, we kept our arguments to each other and came up with a final product. That we didn't have 2 years ago. We had the constant battle. If you remember, everybody remembers the fight over the speaker vote, and then the throwing out of the speaker. But we are united. It wasn't an argument over the speaker. There wasn't even a challenge. And that allows the speaker to already sit down with Trump. Let me tell you that our counterparts in the Senate, Senator Moran, who will now be the VA chair in the Senate, has already reached out to me to start putting our agenda together. That's the difference. We're really united, and we understand that what the people said was there are things we want fixed. We want things fixed like the border. We want things fixed like the inflation. It's real clear what they said. I think that's what the problem with the Democrats were. They were focused on everything and not listening to the people. The votes came to us because we told them what we wanted to do. Now we've got to deliver on it.
Congressman Bost with us right now, Illinois' 12th District Representative. That unity, I mean, there are a lot of different factions of the Republican Party, but that's actually how I think the Republican Party came together to elect Donald Trump, because at the top, he was bringing people in from all over the place that had expertise. They openly could allow themselves to disagree on some things, but see eye to eye, to see commonality, to affect good outcomes in specific lanes, which is as American as it gets to me.
Right.
Do you feel like going in with a Republican House, a Republican Senate, a Republican president, do you feel like there's any post-election consideration among the Democrats to say some of these things, kind of like Senator Coons was saying, some of these things are good ideas, and that you'll see these things done in a bipartisan way?
Yeah, let me tell you this. Cuellar, who is the Hispanic member of the House that was that has the border in Texas, who has been very vocal about where we need to secure our border, right? I was walking down the steps earlier this week. he was arguing with a member of the squad who was arguing that they were going to stand up against Trump agenda to deport. And he said, and he literally looked at her and goes, you need to wake up. You do understand that he's talking about getting criminals out. And you're saying, no, you don't want to do that. You're going to stand against Trump. He said, that's what got you beat. And that was on the Capitol steps. He said it to his own member.
So there are
those that are waking up. There's Seth Moulton has been out there saying, hey, look, we got to look this over. So the Democrats are divided. The Republicans, we argue right now, but we've been arguing for 2 years. So we kind of know where our arguments are at. We just got to know we got to come together as well, though.
Yeah, and find those places where you plow forward and get change accommodated for the American people, because that's why we sent you all there. It's good to hear that.
And you know that you're going to have a president that's going to use administrative rule and everything like that. But what we need to do is take those things he wants to do and take and put it in law.
Yes.
So if any house, any chamber, or the president flips back the other way, they can't come in and instantly change that.
Yes.
We got to change it for the long term.
Yeah, the time is now. It's an amazing opportunity for you, Congressman Boss, to be in there at this moment in time. And we look forward to connecting with you, because we feel like the news is going to be coming fast and furious once everybody is installed, inaugurated, and everything. And we always appreciate your voice here on our show. So we appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. Really do. Thank you.
We'll talk to you again. Bye-bye. Congressman Boss, Illinois 12th District Representative. That just all sounds good to me.
Yeah, that's one of those interviews that when you listen back, like if you get the podcast, you just kind of soak up the different material that he's giving there, because he's behind the scenes. There's so much happening right now. And it's good to hear, because we've talked about the president and his team being on the ball. Sounds like Republicans in the House are ready to roll. We saw Mike Johnson with the president this weekend. Sounds like they're working as a unit.
Yeah. And, you know, you hope that sticks. It's kind of honeymoon time right now. I mean, they usually say the first 100 days of a presidency is the honeymoon period. Usually second terms don't really have that, because it's a continuation. This is an entirely different situation. And that those 100 days, like Janine commented on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, Annie, please tell the congressman that America says this to Congress. You have both houses in the office. All caps. Don't mess this up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't mess it up. And it seems to me like they are their vision for what's going to happen. He was saying Mike Johnson's been working on this for 6 months. Fantastic to hear.
Hit the ground running. Don't drag it out. Good priorities, but also fast moving.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. Let's talk about this when we come back. The YouTube live chat poll. Which full story do you want most to be released? Assassination attempts. And I'm talking about all of them. Assassinations, assassination attempts, all of it. The Jeffrey Epstein story, the COVID story, or the 2020 election. Annie Fry YouTube channel. Go vote for the one that you are looking forward to hearing the full story on the most. And you're going to want to keep it right here on 97.1, because pretty soon those phones are going to need to be ringing. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Good show so far today. Kaylee McEnany in the first hour, Jim Carafano and Mike Bost in this hour. Wiggins did a segment on how to look like you're working when you're not really working. We really covered all of our bases today.
What I was doing was trying to tell you what to watch for at work, because you don't
want
to know all
the ways to look like you're working, but
no. You want if you see these things, you want to call them out, because we're about productivity as a nation.
You want people to call their employer their coworkers out.
Yeah, directly to them though. Don't go to their boss. Maybe send them a little note with a gift card. It says you love them, but
I'm going to get you a badge, and I want you to do that here.
Okay. like a sheriff's badge.
Yeah, I got like a Paw Patrol one at home.
I'm going to need a little more authority.
No, I think that's just perfect. About the right amount of authority.
I don't think so. I think I'm going to need some sort of, like I said, it's not really about authority as much as it is something to soften the blow. If you could give me a bunch of $10 gift cards to Starbucks that I could hand out while I was demeaning people.
No.
That would be great.
It's like, hey, you're doing a terrible job. Here's a Starbucks gift
card. People are going to stop working to get a $10 gift card.
You know what?
That's true.
I didn't think about that.
YouTube live chat poll for today. Which full story do you want the most to be released? Assassination attempts and assassinations, Jeffrey Epstein, COVID, or 2020 election. Of all of these things, I think that three of them potentially have a lot to do with corrupt government. Maybe all four of them have something to do with corrupt government. But I really want to know. I don't want to celebrate or pay for a movie ticket or a concert ticket or an athletic event a ticket to anybody who's involved in the Jeffrey Epstein P. Diddy stuff. I don't want another dime of my money to unknowingly go to support these people's lifestyles.
I don't either. And I'm actually changing my vote from last time we did this poll from the 2020 election to Jeffrey Epstein, because there are so many for them to have pulled that off in public view. We all saw it. James Comey, the former head of the FBI's daughter, was the prosecutor. So you're not just talking about powerful
the prosecutor
Hollywood
of Jeffrey Epstein,
of Ghislaine Maxwell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you're not just talking about Hollywood, like the P. Diddy stuff is probably a lot of Hollywood people, but could include business executives and stuff. This also probably includes powerful government people protecting everybody. So if you can unravel that ball of twine and see what's inside and everybody that would go down along with it, you might unravel the other things too, which is why I picked that one.
That's why I pick it as well. I just think that, or maybe it's not any of those things, and we've cast this really, really wide, broad net, and it shouldn't be that way. There are assumptions, not assumptions, but I'm raising my eyebrow in a lot of different places right now. When people are acting really ridiculous in the wake of Donald Trump winning, crying, acting like the world is over, I'm kind of thinking, is your world over?
Mm. So you're going to start putting up signs that say Epstein did kill himself?
No, that's not at all what I was suggesting. I just think that I don't want to feel inclined to make assumptions. I want to know. I want to know who's in the clear. So maybe if somebody is a lefty, crazy political person in Hollywood, but they make great movies and they're a great actor or actress, and they're not involved in any of this, I probably still want to go see their movies. Mm-hmm. If somebody were out there openly kind of pushing conservative stuff, but they're in the loop, I want to know that too. I just want to know what's real. I want truth. Brad, where are you falling this?
I want to know about Epstein. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, let's just get to the bottom of this, find out what's real, what isn't, and then I think that's where the healing can begin.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. You go vote on the YouTube live chat poll on the broadcast right now and let us know what you think. Vicky said Epstein, but wish it was all of the above. Let us know what you think. Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back.